Turning again in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is about growing in the Christian life this morning. And the message title, if you like, is Reaching the Lost. And the verses which give us the theme in which we are about to speak about for this particular study is recorded in 1 Corinthians 9. And the verses 22 and 23, Paul says what he was willing to do to reach others for the Lord Jesus. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Paul was willing to go whatever extreme, whatever distance it would take to reach other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saved by God's grace. He was not selfish whenever it came to his salvation. These words were penned by the Apostle Paul, and as we read them together, they reveal to us the consuming passion of his very life and ministry, which should this morning be the concern of every Christian. Paul lived and was willing to die for the salvation of souls. That's why Paul is a wonderful example for us to follow this morning. There was a constant burden resting upon him that others might be saved. He longed for their salvation. He was willing to go to any trouble or any inconvenience in order that they might be saved. He was willing to put himself out that others might be brought in. No such thing as complacency or contentment as far as material things went with Paul. Like John Knox of Scotland, he later cried, "O God, give me Scotland or else I die." That was a man who was willing to die for his country. The burden of Paul's prayers was, "O God, give me souls or else I die." In other words, "Lord, if I cannot be effective witness for you, I may as well be dead." That's what Paul's salvation meant to him. He wanted to see others won and brought home. Whether he was working or resting, at home or abroad, in season or out of season, this man must at all costs seek the salvation of the lost. You turn back a book to Romans, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. More words of Paul. He said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost." Listen to the verse 2. "That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Why did Paul have continual heaviness? Why did he have continual sorrow in his heart? It's not because he was suffering physically. It's because he was suffering because those around him were lost. His family and friends. What was he willing to do in verse 3? "For I could wish that myself were accursed, or if it were at all possible, separated from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." The Reformed theology, of course, does not teach us that we can be lost. But Paul was saying, if it were possible, I am willing to be lost that my kinsmen might be found. And that's what Paul was willing to do, that his friends and relatives might be reached before it's too late. Some people are not effective witnesses, and some do not share their Christian faith because they have nothing to share. But my friends, this morning, if God has saved you, if you have a Christian faith in your heart, this morning it is my desire that you might see the real desire of sharing your faith with other people. Paul was willing to be lost so that others might be found. He was in no way selfish with his Christian faith. He wanted to share with others. Also in Romans 10 verse 1, the bottom line of Paul's ministry was, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God of Israel, to God for Israel is, they might be saved." That's all Paul cared for. Didn't care for anything else. Primarily, he wanted the salvation of these people. John Harper, Some of you might recall the Titanic in 1912. It was a massive ship, the biggest of its time, a cruise liner built in Belfast and left England to sail across to America. It was beautiful. It was absolutely massive. All the rich and wealthy would have boarded there, first-class citizens. Of course, there were second and third for those who could not afford the luxuries. And this was probably the most famous ship of all time, the Titanic. It was called the Unsinkable. The captain boasted, not even God himself could sink this ship. Terrible words for anyone to speak about God. Many movies and stories have been made and written about this fateful journey. But very few of them do mention the Scottish or include the Scottish evangelist John Harper. This man was a passenger on the boat. His wife had died a few years earlier, and he was on this journey with his little daughter. He had been asked to come to Moody Institute, it was a Bible church, to preach the gospel. And in 1912, he was travelling to Chicago with his little daughter. And as you all know the story, just after midnight, that massive ship struck an iceberg. And slowly but surely, it began to sink. Only a few people were able to get into the lifeboats. Some were too proud and they just got in and would not make room for other people. Instead of putting, for example, 60, some of them just had 12 people. So many people perished that night. Thousands of people perished in the icy cold waters. But people reported that there was this man, and he was going around and telling women and children and unsaved, get into the lifeboats. Women and children and the unsaved, get into the lifeboats. But then there was another man, and he was clinging on in the freezing cold waters. And he said as he lay there in the water, someone came swimming towards him. This man, John Harper, had also given his life jacket to someone else. The freezing cold waters with his last breath. He shouted, "Man, are you saved?" And the man shouted back, "No, I'm not." And the waves seemed to take this man, Harper, into the distance. And he seemed to come back again. He said, "Man, are you saved yet?" And the man shouted back, "No, I'm not." And he witnessed Harper's head disappearing 2 miles below the icy cold waters. 4 years later, this man was speaking in Canada at an evangelistic meeting. And he said there alone in that night, in the freezing cold waters of 1912, with 2 miles of water underneath me, "I believe I'm John Harper's last convert." That man, John Harper, till his very last breath, preached Christ. He wanted other people to come. Didn't care about himself. He wanted other people to come to be with the Lord. And so many of us today, we're so self-centered sometimes. People are lost, dying, without knowing the Lord. He was willing to lose a little daughter, lose everything to reach one last person for the Lord Jesus. That's why reaching the lost is so important, that we might reach them. It's so easy to engage with many other matters, secondary matters, and to be feeling this great supreme objective of reaching the lost. I wonder this morning, do we share this consuming passion for the salvation of souls? Have we any real concern to see men and women saved? What are we doing to reach them? Some things I want to mention this morning. The first one is that the supreme objective in every Christian's life should be the salvation of souls. The salvation of souls. This morning, if you are a true child of God, if you are the Lord, then the one business of your life and of my life should be the salvation of souls. The other night I was very deeply burdened for my eldest brother. He's 38 years of old age, and I phoned him up. I was really burdened for a soul, and I pleaded with him to come to Christ. And he said no. And I thought, if God calls him home, he'll never be in heaven. He's rejected. And we can take that personally. But then I must realize that it's not my job to save. I said, Trevor, if I could save you, I would leave yesterday to fly home to Ireland to save you. But I can't save you. I can just plead with you to come to the Lord. Men and women, most people won't come. But we must do what we can to reach them and to tell them. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Lord Jesus is our best example of all, a great passion for souls. And he said the very reason why he came to this world, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And sometimes we think the primary objective of Christ is to bless and enrich a Christian. That is not the reason why he came. He came to reach the lost. John 9:4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And that night is coming, whenever it's too late for us to reach our family and friends. How many of us stand around the graveside with our family and friends regretting if only had spoke of Jesus, if only had spoke of the Savior? My friend, it's too late then. Now's the time when God brings all these things to remembrance. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to seek and to save lost men and women. And he's commissioned us to do the very same thing, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe when God saves us, he saves us for a purpose. He saves us to serve, not to sit. He saves us to serve. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This should be the supreme objective in your life and in my life. To win souls is to be the matter of first importance. We ask the question, is this the supreme business of my life? Is this the supreme business of this church? A Christian or a church may be thoroughly evangelical without being at all evangelistic. In other words, we can believe without practicing. But God wants both. It's so easy to become inward looking and not outward reaching. God has opened our hearts. We're no longer spiritually discerned. Therefore, we want to shine out. Shine out that bright light that God sends in us, that others might see it. How we need to hold firmly to the trustworthy message found in the Bible, holding fast the faithful word that has been taught, that we may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Paul says we are to know this book so that we can go to people and we can exhort them to come to Christ. Then whenever they put up all their excuses, by the word of God we can convince them that they're wrong and that the Bible is right. That's why we need to know the Bible. And there's the importance of holding out the word of life. Holding forth the word of life in Philippians 2:16, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's why I want to serve the Lord, because I'm not serving in vain. That's why I want to run the Christian life, because I'm not running in vain. Many a times you would run around and we get tired. We would say, there's no point in tiring myself, it's a waste of time. But when you run the Christian race, it's worth the getting tired over. And it's worth running the Christian race. I was telling my brother one day, the Lord Jesus is coming back to take his children home. And he could not see it. But when your eyes are opened, you will understand that he is coming back. He's preparing to get married. The Lord Jesus is a groom coming back for his bride. And that's why he hasn't come back yet, because the bride has not been all gathered in. And there's people in Kingston, a part of that bride, and they still have not been brought into the house of God, brought into the family of God through effective witnessing of God's people. This should be the objective of every Christian, of not just a few Christians, but of all Christians. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says, therefore they were all scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Whenever the early day apostles came to Christ, every one of them had nothing else to do but to go and tell other people. That was a time of great persecution. And I often feel and think in my heart that God will bring persecution to Australia today to waken the Christian people up. We were saying on Wednesday night that Christians are being captivated in China because they want to get the Bible message to the Chinese Christians, arrested for taking the Bible in. Yeah, we can come to church today with our Bibles here, there and yonder. And people are so complacent. What must God do to shake his people to get out there and reach the lost? We're not talking about going out in the street corners and preaching. We're talking about just having so much of the joy of Christ in our hearts, we want to share it with other people. Notice here in the New Testament church, it was the rank and file members of the church who preached the word wherever they went. Wherever they went, they wanted to share Christ. Whenever they said, look at this beautiful day, isn't God good to us today? Look at this terrible rain, isn't God good to the land? They acknowledged the goodness of God in absolutely everything. This is the New Testament pattern for evangelism, and it's what's needed today. The objective is the salvation of souls. The bottom line is, men are lost, and they need to be saved. Men, women, and boys and girls are born into this world lost. They need to be saved. And the message of the Bible is only the Lord Jesus Christ can save. Many people do not believe, most people don't believe it. But my friend, if you believe it and you've received it, you want to share it with others. And the only way your friend might see that is through your life. That's why you've got to tell them. Otherwise they're not going to listen to me, but they might just listen to you because they'll see your life. Acts 4 verse 12, one of the verses of Scripture, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That teaches me that men and women must be saved. Not might be saved, not can be saved, but they must be saved. And it starts with repentance. The Lord Jesus said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Then they need to be forgiven. We don't forgive people for their sins. It's the Lord Jesus who forgives them. And there's a wonderful word called born again. You know what the Lord Jesus says? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, listen to these words, but I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We explain this to the children. Every one of us are born with the mother and the father. And we're born naturally into this world. But in order to get into God's heaven, into God's family, we need to be reborn supernaturally. Nicodemus asked that question, do I need to be born again in my mother's womb? Of course, that's impossible. That was a man who knew the law inside out. The Lord Jesus said, no, you need to be born again into the family of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't really fully understand that. I urge you to search the Scriptures and pray that God will reveal Himself to you, the simplicity of understanding the need to be born again. Born again into the family of God. That makes us justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can make peace with God is through Christ. That's why Christ must have suffered, shed His blood, died on the cross, to make peace with God for us. Then we're all led into the fullness of God's great salvation. Now, the second thing we want to notice is that every soul we touch or become into contact with should be regarded as a potential Christian. Do you ever think about that? Pray every morning, Lord, every person I come across today, I want this person to be a potential Christian. I remember I used to go on field days or agriculture shows and applied for a job one time and getting people to join a music club. I could not tell you that everyone knows how nice and good my singing is. But I could not sing a note to save myself. I knew nothing about music. But if I would get someone to sign this paper, join this music club, I would get so much money just for getting to join. And I was getting people to sign that paper and they did not even know what they were signing. I was so enthusiastic about getting people to join this club. And I thought to myself, every person I came across was a potential music client. And there were people who never even had radios or tape players or cassette players or record players, and I had them so convinced if they sign this here, they're going to get all this stuff. Misleading people. That was in my unsaved days, by the way. Don't do that nowadays. But it made me think, some people do that nowadays, businessmen. Christian businessmen, but that's because they're so fired up about their whatever they're selling. And that's okay in a sense if you believe your product's right. But what I think about, the way I saw people coming across, all I could see was music symbols on their heads. And I thought to myself, what a parallel to the Christian life. And every person I see and meet and come into contact with, I should see them as a potential Christian. And it says the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If these people have got 2 years, I've got a mouth. I'm going to say, how are you today? I'm going to speak about 1,000 subjects. But I wonder, will I mention the name of Christ? Will I mention the name salvation? Will I mention God's word? And I know I want to. God wants me to. But the old devil doesn't. Why does the devil get the victory every time? Why is it always so difficult? They can spend 2 hours in someone's home and not mention the Bible or God's word. But they can mention it in vain. They can mention it in swearing. And it doesn't even bother us. Yet we cannot mention it in loving to reach them for God. My friends, today there's something wrong. The devil is so strong. That's why we need to plead that God will help us. That we might bring our friends. Every Christian, every person we come across. I urge you this week to see every person you come across. Regard them as a potential Christian. Challenge them. So many people, I believe, are won by personal evangelism. That means on the one-to-one. How are you a Christian today? Someone invited me to church. Someone gave me a little yellow leaflet on it that says, I invite you to my church. I didn't go to the church, but I read inside a gospel message. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I simply believed and the Lord saved me. The Lord uses individual people like you. Speak of your faith. Is the Lord good to you? Has the Lord blessed you? Share it with other people. I often say to boys and girls, if I got a new pair of shoes, I'd be bouncing up and down the street, telling all my friends about my new shoes. But the Lord's given us a new heart. If you went into an operation, you're dying, the doctors operated, 15 doctors give you a new heart, transformed your life. Would you not be going to your friends, listen to my heart, tick, tick, beat, beat. It's going so well, I'm new life, I feel 20 years younger. But yet the Lord really does give the Christian a new heart. An eternal heart that never stops beating. Yet we don't tell others about it. My friend, that's a challenge this morning of reaching the lost. That we might tell other people what God has done for us. So that he might reach them as well. That's what Paul done. Paul was willing to do all these things. That he might save some. What are we willing to do? That we might save some. Paul says all men. 1 Corinthians 9:22, your text for this morning. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. He was willing to adapt the situation, adapt the culture to become like that person. He didn't come across them differently. Whatever that person was, he became like them. They were drinking tea, he drank tea. They were out in the garden, he went out in the garden. If they were weak in the flesh, he became weak. Why? That I might save some. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 3 times the word all is mentioned. Paul was willing to do all that was possibly possible to reach whoever might be reached. I believe this is a very controversial thing whenever we ask the question, who does God love? I don't get into that debate. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. That's the entire human race. And the difference is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ died for all people. And that he died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:15, the day which I live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Christ died for all. But not all come to repentance. Because millions have already perished without being saved. Proving, of course, that only God's elect will be saved at the end. But God uses the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of gospel witnessing to save and to reach his elect people. God uses men like me, human feeble efforts like me. Men and women like you, God is pleased to use. That's a great thing to be pleased by, used by God. In school, at home, in the workplace, in Woolies or Coles, wherever life takes you, see everyone you come across as a potential Christian. And you know when the test will be? When people will look at you as if you've got horns. That's how you're willing to be crucified with Christ. Someone will say to you, you're just a fool. You're just an old fool. Well, if anyone ever says that, you say, well, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? There's no answer. Are you willing to be a fool for the Lord today? I'm willing to be a fool for the Lord. I don't care who laughs at me. The Lord saved me. He's promised me a home in heaven. He's given me lovely health and strength. He's been good to me, given me a lovely wife, car and a home. Push back if the car doesn't start. Feet if the bike doesn't go. Don't care. The Lord's been good to me. Do you ever count your blessings? Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The last thing we want to notice is that we are to adopt every means available to secure the salvation of souls. Every means available to secure the salvation of souls. Think of the Savior's journey from heaven to earth to Calvary's cross. Why? To secure your salvation and mine today. Lord Jesus travelled a special route. Remember, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. Going on the journey to Galilee, from Galilee. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Because there was one woman. One woman who lived an adulterous, wicked lifestyle. Had five husbands, and the man she lived with was not even her husband. Most people would cast that woman aside. But the Lord Jesus especially went that she might be reached. As a result of that one person, almost her whole city came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of your life and someone you might reach, Kingston can be revived of true biblical Christianity over one person that is reached because of you or me. What have we denied ourselves in order that one lost sinner might be saved? Say this at the beginning. If we would get others in, then perhaps we must first put ourselves out. Are we willing to be put out? Are we willing to become uncomfortable? Are we willing to get embarrassed for the name of Christ, that some might be brought into the family of God? Pride is a terrible thing. Most humans suffer from pride, and we need to get rid of pride and become humble to reach others. Perhaps that's what it takes. What means should we adapt? Well, the most important thing is that we should be at the disposal of the Holy Ghost. The Lord will lead us as a method to adopt and soul winning. As Christians today, we're led by the Lord. We live according to the Lord's leading. And He will certainly lay upon us the burden of prayer. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. He may also give us specially chosen tracts, portions of Scripture, put it in our hearts to share with other people. Paul preached the gospel. Many rejected it. Just imagine we live around the coast here. A fisherman goes fishing. Do you ever wonder why does a fisherman never catch all the fish in the sea? He's got a wonderful boat. He's got a big net. He's got 10 fishing rods with all the best gear. Professional fisherman. And you say, excuse me, did you catch any fish? Oh yes. Did you catch all the fish? Oh no, not all the fish. There's millions of fish out there. I've just caught a couple of hundred. Some fishermen will come back without catching any fish. It's the same with gospel preaching. It's the same with witnessing. You might have 1,000 friends. You might speak to them individually. Not one of them might not get saved. But at least you've told them. At least you've told them. But one of those persons you don't speak to might be one of God's children. God is waiting till you go to speak to them. And my friend, if you're a Christian, I'm not different than you. God puts it upon my heart, the person to speak to. God will put it upon your heart, and you know because He prompts you. Speak just a word for me. And you know what happens? We do not listen to the voice of God. We do not listen to God's voice. And the easiest time for you to speak to your friend is when God speaks to you first. God puts in your heart, ring that person, ring them. God puts in your heart, go to that person, go to them. That's the time to do it. I believe that's the leading of God. And that's the best time to do it. You want to invite someone to church? When God puts them in your heart, invite them. That's the best time. Whenever we get to heaven, I believe we'll be surprised who we see there. I know something very sad. I believe we'll be even more surprised by who we do not see there. We've got families and friends and parents and grandparents who we think they're Christians, and they're maybe not saved because they've never fully understood that God has saved you. If someone is a Christian, they're not ashamed to speak of their faith. So you should never be afraid to say, tell me, are you saved? Are you born again? When did you become a Christian? And you might just open their hearts that they might understand they need to be truly saved. Whenever we get to heaven, it's going to be too late. Whenever that person dies, it's going to be too late. I want to finish with a lesson from Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, you might recall, was a former president in America. He was and still is a committed Christian. And every year in Carter's home church, they would have a special evangelistic campaign to reach the lost. And every member of that church was encouraged to invite the unsaved into the church. And one day, Jimmy Carter was invited to speak at another church on the subject of Christian witnessing. And he began and he said, in 14 years I've been doing this here, I've managed to visit 140 homes to invite them to the church. And as he was speaking, he felt convicted. 14 years, 140 homes. He felt quite proud of that achievement. But then in his own heart, he began to compare his witness for Christ with his witness for political office. And he realized that in one campaign in 1966, whenever he was campaigning for the governor of Georgia, he said he had gone out to at least 300,000 people in an attempt to convince those people to vote for him. 300,000. And then he said, the comparison struck me. 300,000 personal visits for me and 140 visits for God in 14 years. Paul was willing to become a Jew, a slave, weak, put under the law, whatever it would take to bring people to Christ. What are we willing to do to reach the lost? To bring others to Christ. I pray the Lord will burden me and burden you also to do more to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be selfish with your salvation. Share it with others. And God might just use that personal witnessing to bring others to Christ. Hell is too real. Hell is too serious. Hell is coming too soon for our friends and loved ones and neighbours to fall into there. We must reach them. That's a command to go out and bring them in. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's just pray, please, for a moment. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word today to our hearts. I thank the Lord for the challenge of reaching the lost. We pray, Lord, as we've been speaking, if you put anyone upon our hearts, that, Lord, even this day, we might do what we can to bring them in, to reach them before it's too late. Bless this word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our...